I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to this special Father's Day edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm delighted to have you join me as we reflect on Father's Day. The Bible has a lot of specific teaching for fathers. It also gives us examples of fatherhood, good and bad. Of all the things my father did for me, I'm most grateful that he passed on to me a living faith in a living God. And this song by the choir is in honor of all the faithful fathers who are out there today.
God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty of the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies, our grateful songs before thy throne arise. Refresh thy people on their toilsome way.
God of our fathers, we bow in your awesome presence. We thank you for your love and your father's heart for all your children. We thank you for being our Father in heaven and that you are the perfect model for every father. And now as my friend and I open the word and look at the example of a godly father, open our hearts and minds to receive the truth. Give to my friend and me the desire and the power to take what we hear and implement it in our lives through the work of your Holy Spirit. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. 'Twas a sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away in the parable Jesus told, a grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. Out on the hillside, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd sought, and back to the flock, safe into the fold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long, and as earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger. If they go wrong, they will lead the lambs astray. For the lambs will follow the sheep, you know, wherever the sheep may stray. When the sheep go wrong, it will not be long till the lambs are as wrong as they. And so, with the sheep, we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the sheep are lost, what terrible cost some of the lambs will pay. You know, there are a lot of lambs today that are paying a high price because many of the sheep have gone astray. As we look into God's Word today, I pray the Holy Spirit will challenge, convict, and encourage and change the sheep. In this case, every father or father-to-be who is listening. To accomplish that goal, we turn our attention to Genesis chapter 22, and I've titled the message, Abraham, a Model Father. Of course, we know that Abraham was not a perfect father, but he was still a model father. So listen as I read the account from Genesis chapter 22 and verses 1 through 19. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And now from our text, I want to highlight several ways in which Abraham was a model father for us as fathers. The first way is, Abraham acted on God's command. You know, I marvel every time I read this account at Abraham's obedience. Some people, when they read this account, are perplexed, and they say, how could a loving God, who had already expressly forbidden Abraham's forefather Noah against the taking of innocent human life, now ask Abraham to take the life of his son? In our way of thinking, that's a most unreasonable command. But you see, all of the promises God had made to Abraham were wrapped up in the life of Isaac. Notice how specific God is with his commands. Those commands pierce the very heart of Abraham. He says, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Wouldn't it have been enough to say, Take your son to the land of Moriah, and there sacrifice him to me? But God makes it deeply personal. The word only in the Hebrew means united or beloved. And we know that Isaac was deeply loved by his father for several reasons. First, just recall the circumstances of his birth. He was an absolute miracle baby. And then beyond that, in Isaac were united all the promises of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. The promise of a seed, the promise of descendants without number, the promise of the land, and then a descendant who would bless all the nations of the world. To what avail would these be if Isaac should now die, childless? So God reminds Abraham that Isaac is his only beloved son. And further, he speaks his name, Isaac, which means he laughs. This is certainly no time for laughter. And then God clinches it by saying, "The one whom you love." It's almost like God is twisting a knife in the very heart of Abraham. But look at what Abraham does. We have no record of any questions, no hesitation, no accusation, no rationalization, nothing like that. Abraham gets up early the next morning, he makes the needed preparations to fulfill God's command, and he sets off for Moriah. And he doesn't even know exactly where he's going to perform this unthinkable deed. He just is given the general area. Dads, what would be your response to a command like this? You see, Abraham is not the only one to face this test. It's true his circumstances were unique, but this test is one that you and I and every Christian father must face. Will we obey God, or will we follow our own inclinations? Now I know, most likely God will never ask you to lay your son or daughter on a literal altar, but he may ask you to sacrifice your prestige or your reputation with your peers for the spiritual well-being of your sons and daughters. He may ask you to give up your current career so you have more time to develop godly character in your sons and daughters. And God may ask you to give up your plans for your child so they can be free to fulfill his plans. You see, God needed to be sure that Abraham's faith was grounded in him, in God, not in Isaac's ability to fulfill the promises. I believe that Abraham understood what every father needs to understand. The children God gives to us as fathers are not ours. They are his. As their creator, God has the right to do with them and their lives whatever he chooses. If you and I don't have this understanding, then we'll wrestle with unfulfilled expectations and broken dreams and shattered hopes. Abraham had enough faith in God to trust him implicitly. And that's what enabled him to obey God without having answers to the questions that I'm sure were crowding into his mind. As fathers, you and I today need that same kind of faith that leads to obedience. The second way, then, that Abraham was a model father is he anticipated God's provision. I want you to notice that not only was Abraham obedient to God's command to go, but he made specific and thorough preparations for the journey, for the sacrifice. He took the wood as the fuel for the fire. He took the coals of fire to ignite the wood, and he took the knife that he would need to kill the sacrifice. Abraham accepted the fact that a sacrifice would take place, and so he prepared accordingly. And verse 3 tells us that he took two servants with him. Why did he do that? I believe it was so they could be witnesses. These young men were surely aware from Abraham's preparations that there was going to be a sacrifice. But just like Isaac, they could see there was no appropriate animal that was going with them. Yet he said to them in verse 5, "Stay here with the donkey, and then he and Isaac would go and worship the Lord, and then they would return to them again." Abraham made that statement in all sincerity because he was sure of God's provision. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now listen, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Abraham went to Mount Moriah with the assurance that either he would slay Isaac and God would raise him up, or God would provide an animal substitute. Abraham didn't know the details of this and how this was going to play out, but he had confidence that God knew exactly what he was doing. Now, what about us, fathers? Do you and I have the confidence that God knows what he's doing? When our daughter lays aside a financially lucrative position to fulfill God's calling as a homemaker, or maybe embraces singleness so she can better serve the Lord in the place of His calling? Do we have the settled assurance that God will take care of her and provide for her needs? Or can we accept God's plan when our son is called to pastoral ministry and we hoped he would take over the family business? Are we able to trust God with our most cherished possessions, our children, and then the dreams that we have for them? Too many of us, as dads, are focused on making our children financially successful in life. We ought to be more deeply concerned that they are developing spiritually and morally with excellent character. We need to focus more on the promise of Jesus in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, that is, all the necessities for physical life, will be added to you." Can our sons and daughters observe our lives and see how God provides for those who obey Him? Are we willing to do what God asks, even though it looks extremely risky or foolish on the face of it? When God called my family to Heralds of Hope in 1994, Joyce and I had four children. I was leaving behind a good-paying job, and it was a job that I enjoyed immensely. I knew that my salary in the ministry would not be comparable to the wages from my previous employment, and we were also open to the possibility that God would bless our marriage with additional children, which He did. How was all of this going to work out? And my former employer even asked me how much I was going to be paid in this new position, and all I told him was, "Much less than you've been paying me." And then he asked me, "Well, how are you going to make it financially?" And I said, "You know, when I came to work for you, I took a substantial reduction in pay from my previous employer, and my family never went hungry, never went without adequate clothing or shelter. I believe that the God who provided for us in the past will provide for us in the future." And you know something? That's exactly what God did. I don't share that to lift up myself. I share it so that you can bless God with me. Fathers, I assure you, we can trust God. Let's show our children the reality of our faith by anticipating God's provision for all of our needs. And then the next way that Abraham was a model father is he addressed Isaac's concern. Many Bible scholars believe Isaac was more than a boy when these events took place. He very likely was a grown man. And yet we have no record that he questioned the decision of his father. He did have some questions, but he did not question the decision of his father. So for 3 days, father and son traveled together. And from the brief details that are given us in the text, we can deduce at least some of the thoughts that must have passed through the minds of these two men, the father and the son. And Isaac addresses his father with tones of love and respect. He says, "My father." And Abraham responds, "Here I am, my son." Then the fateful question, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Do you know what many fathers do with this kind of question? Some will say, "Well, don't worry about it. Everything will work out." Others might say, "I'm not going to answer your question because that's for me to worry about." And others may act like they didn't hear the question. None of those is a proper response to a legitimate question. I want you to notice something very interesting here. Isaac asks a question relating to the present. He says, "Where is the lamb?" I don't believe the possibility had crossed Isaac's mind that he was to be the sacrifice. For 3 days of traveling with his father, he must have been pondering this question, and he couldn't arrive at any satisfactory answer. So he asks his father. Just imagine Abraham's thoughts. Abraham answered Isaac's inquiry about present things by referring to something in the future. He said, "God Himself will provide a lamb." Abraham at this point doesn't know where the lamb is, but he is sure that God will provide one. Faith sees what is invisible to the human eye. In this response is a marvelous example for us as fathers, a marvelous model. He answers Isaac's question by directing his attention to God. And we must learn how to address the immediate concerns of our children by pointing them to God, their Heavenly Father. We need to help them understand that in reality, God is the only one who can meet their needs. We need to cultivate the ability to see deeper, underlying issues in the questions of our children, and then use those questions to help them address those issues from a biblical perspective. We must never ignore their sincere concerns. And then the final way that Abraham is a model father is he acquired God's approval. Abraham obeys God's command. He gets the altar ready. He binds Isaac and lays him on the altar, and he takes out the knife. At the very moment he is prepared to sacrifice his son, God stops him by calling his name. And then he adds, "Now I know that you fear God." Didn't God know that before? Of course he did, but Abraham authenticated it by his obedience. I'm reminded of what the Hebrew writer said about Jesus. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Abraham's obedience and his anticipation of God's provision are now amply rewarded. In response to God's call, he lowers the knife, he turns around to look behind him, and there's a ram caught by its horns in the bushes. This is the answer to Isaac's question, and it becomes the substitute for him. Can you imagine the profound effect this whole incident must have had on Isaac? To see his father's unflinching obedience to a command that seemed absolutely crazy. Who got the blessing? Well, to be sure, Abraham did. But it was really Isaac and all his descendants, and you and me, who have received the benefits of Abraham's obedience. Because through his seed, Jesus Christ, we have received the blessing. Jesus offered himself to the Father as our substitute. He died in our place. In closing, notice verse 19. Abraham and Isaac returned to the two young men who were waiting with the donkey, and together they went home to Beersheba. Abraham kept his promise to these two young men, and they were witnesses to the truthfulness of Abraham's word. Fathers, does your obedience to God's commands authenticate your faith? If God rated your obedience in comparison with Abraham's, how would you measure up? Are you willing to step out in obedience even when you can't see what the end result will be? Do your children know that Dad will obey the commands of Christ regardless of the cost? And do you anticipate God's provision? Can you move ahead with confidence even when you can't see how God is going to provide for the need? Have your children experienced the joy of seeing God provide for your needs supernaturally? And Dad, are you willing to honestly address the concerns of your children? Are you pointing them to Jesus as the only one who can meet their deepest needs? Are you using the temporal things of life to teach them eternal lessons? And finally, are you and your family reaping the rewards of God's approval? Is the world being blessed because of your commitment to Christ and the commitment of your family? I believe that Abraham is truly a model father. And by God's grace, I pray that you and I will make it our goal to incorporate these ways that he modeled into our lives.
What this dying world could use is a willing man of God, who dares to go against the grain and works without applause. A man who'll raise a shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men.
compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who'll face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
I hope you're one of those men this song speaks about. If so, praise God. And if you'd like to review this teaching or share it with a friend, just point them to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where they can listen to the program at their convenience. To request a copy of this teaching in either a printed transcript or a digital audio file, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you may mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, and ask for your copy of the teaching, Abraham, a Model Father. To review today's program or to listen to previous programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where you can listen at your convenience. And while you're on the site, visit our online store and look at the resources that are available there. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. We also invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, ensures that the Voice of Hope will remain on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll return to our series of study in the book of 2 Corinthians. And until we meet again, remember, dads, what's past is past. Today is the day to make a new start.
He calls a broken derelict whose life has been renewed. He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth. Endless the lines are open, and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who'll face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who'll face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again.